died. Son of man, his life poured out for all. See his hands, see his scars, his love can't be denied. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. Our love so great, the cross suffices. Hey. Every day, all we owe, he bears it as his own. Brought to life, we are free to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. Our love so great, the cross divine.
Sing it out. Come on.
See the Lamb of God. See the Father's love. All to Jesus we owe. He paid it all. All to Jesus we owe. He paid.
Church, let's stand on up.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we've come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior. Fall on your grace. Yeah. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, the Lord, we've come.
We've gathered together
to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound. Saints bow down as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves.
the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you.
Into your love. Hey, last week we were just talking about worship, right? We were talking about worship and having God touch us, and hopefully we were able to experience that. And we gave a reference from Moses and how the cloud descended, and how one of the saddest parts about that story is every single one of the Israelites could have come up into the presence of God, and they were too afraid. And so what I just want you to revisit what we talked about last week and what you're experiencing, that you have an opportunity to go into the presence of God Almighty. And don't be afraid. Just experience what God has for you here today.
Show me your glory.
Do you want to see God's glory today? Sing it out to him.
Show me your glory.
Continue to worship you, and we just pray that your glory will be revealed in all things. At this time, now that we go ahead and we honor you by receiving your tithe and our offerings, God, just continue to send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may seek you and see you even more powerfully than ever before. And just, God, we pray that the gifts that we receive from the tither and the giver will not just remain here, but they go around the world to help further the ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
This time our children can head to our Sunday school, and everybody else just greet one another and say hello.
All right, good morning, everyone. I hope everybody's doing well. Congratulations, you didn't melt going in here. Some of you may have come in the door and gone like this, but we do have the wonder of rain. I know that's something new we haven't had this summer at all, but lots and lots of rain that we have, as we say. I just want to touch on a couple announcements and some prayer requests that we have here. Again, if you're visiting, welcome. Hopefully you received a card as you came in. If not, if you just kind of raise your hand, we won't point you out, but someone will get something to you, and that will be pretty awesome to go ahead and connect with you. If you've been here a couple times and you just never were able to fill that out, by all means, do so. Couple announcements that we do want to touch on. You can look at the information for joining Sunday school team. There's still a couple other opportunities to join and for Sunday school. And what we would do here, we don't want to go ahead and make sure that people are, quote, stuck every week and miss out on worship and other things. We'd like to have enough so that people can go ahead and take turns and go ahead and rotate a little bit in there as well. You see the information about stuff in the bulletin by Wednesday afternoon. Also, some of you may not see that because I understand we were low on some of these today, but that's all right. We'll make sure we get those to you if you need them. All-in Bible study. It's coming close. Believe it or not, October's just a couple weeks away. Isn't that crazy? I saw the other day just, what, less than 100 days till Christmas? Is that what I saw? So, sorry. Sorry, I had to do it. All right, so we have that. As we're looking here, some other things, the All-In Bible study. Then if we look down here, men and women's groups at Haven, they're meeting. And then what I want to talk to, I thank you for the blankets, blanket bags of care. A big thank you there for everyone who contributed to that. For the homeless, as of now, they've collected enough bags for 32 adults and 25 kids, with more to come. So that's great. That's awesome. Grief Share. We've talked about Grief Share a little bit. This evening, tonight at 6 o'clock, right here, we're going to go ahead and start part of that. And what this one is going to be is it deals with the holidays. So here we go. Melinda, will you show this brief clip?
I used to feel like I would like to go to sleep the day before Thanksgiving and wake up January 2nd.
For many who've lost loved ones, the holidays are the worst time of the year. But you can give those hurting people the comfort and encouragement they desperately need with GriefShare Surviving the Holidays. GriefShare Surviving the Holidays is a freestanding, one-time event that you can offer to your church and community. A Surviving the Holidays event is structured like a normal GriefShare meeting. Everyone receives a small workbook called a survival guide, which contains a video outline and over 40 exercises, articles, and activities. During the meeting, the group will watch a 40-minute video featuring moving stories of holiday survival, powerful testimonies, creative storytelling, and new and familiar grief share experts. Once the video ends, your group will discuss the video and their plans to survive this holiday season.
GriefShare is a support group open to men and women dealing with the death of a loved one. To learn more about GriefShare, speak to the GriefShare leader at your church.
All right, so we all want to make sure that you're going to be hearing a lot about GriefShare, and we want you to tell anybody that you can. Obviously, the holidays are some of the highest points of the year for suicide and other kinds of things because of this dealing with grief and the loss of loved ones. A couple prayer requests that we want to lift up right now. Donna asked for prayers for the Kipp family. Michelle's brother-in-law, Roger's brother Dan, passed away very suddenly on Friday, and he was 54 years old, and so we want to continue to lift them in your prayers. We also have from Nikki Prentice, who's Melinda's daughter from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for flash flooding this week. It started yesterday and will continue through the week. And to make matters worse, it's supposed to start raining tomorrow and last for 3 days. So she's not in the flood zone, but others are. And so we know that this is about to get even crazier for them. And for everyone who affected by Florence and the continued flooding, and for emergency crews and all the people who are trying to get back and get connected, and then also for those who have lost their lives, and for all the first responders as well. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come to you for these needs. We want to lift them up to you. We recognize that sometimes, God, we just don't, we see things about hurricanes and storms, and we joke about our rain and everything else, but God, sometimes we just forget that that these situations have caused loss and tragedy in many different ways. We ask that you reach out and you touch and protect those individuals. God, for all others who are dealing with loss, like the Kipp family and others, God, be with them as we recognize, and that's why we share, grief share, and this hope for the holidays, because, God, it is very difficult for many of us who have lost those. And so, God, we just want to reach out in your Son, Jesus' name. I just ask that the rest of this time be committed to you as we seek your Holy Spirit, that we bask in your presence, meaning that your Holy Spirit just is here to reveal to us what you would have revealed to us. And for that, in all things, God, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 28. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now I'm going to read Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?
I have to say that's the first time anybody's ever applauded, you brood of vipers, you're going to go to hell. All right, so I might have to have her read everything all the time. You want to read my sermon today? Okay. That's great. Wow, that's not your normal, yay, that's fun verse, right? All right, awesome. So today we are on week three of our Untiable series, and the main focus of this is that there are certain things that knot up our relationship with God that kind of keep us from moving on. And it's kind of like if you have a knot in your shoestring and you're trying to thread it. You can't get it in there until you get the knot out. And so so that's what we're kind of focusing on. And here's the main verse from Scripture that we're using, if you see it here. And it says, with many stories like these, because Jesus would tell these parables, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories into their experience and their maturity. And I love that Jesus not only just tells stories and makes you go, what does that mean? But he fits it in to their understanding. And then he says, he was never without a story when he spoke. And then here comes the really cool part here. And when he was alone with his disciples, he went over how much? Everything. Sorting out the tangles and untying the knots. How many of us feel like there's some areas in our walk and in our life that we need God to just, that we need Jesus to just go ahead and kind of sort out some of the tangles and untie the knots? The other day I found a section of cords. You notice how like behind TV you put cords together and you may even put those zip ties on it, but somehow the cord monster gets back there and winds them all up and you can't get them undone. And I think that's kind of like how our lives are with Christ, we start off in a manner, and the manner that we're starting out with, everything seems to be good and in order and clear, and we got them all zip-tied together, and we're heading in a direction, but somehow the dust bunnies of life come, and underneath them they tie everything up, and before we know it, life is kind of filled with knots. And so what we're talking about is not like several years ago, the bracelets, what would Jesus do? We are really talking about what would Jesus undo? What are those knots and tangles that Jesus would undo in our lives? And week one, we talked about being lukewarm and going ahead and how he would change that. Last week, did you have fun last week? I did. I had fun all week. We talked about just hollow or empty worship and how God would undo that because he really wants us to connect to worship and to connect with him. Today we're going to talk about something, what would Jesus undo? And the term is, and we're going to talk about this term that was read to us so eloquently, hypocrisy or hypocrites. How many of you know a hypocrite? Anybody know a hypocrite? How many are sitting next to a, no, don't do that. How many are looking at one, all right? Hypocrites. You know, there was a story of a young couple who moved into a new neighborhood. And the next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman saw her neighbor hanging her wash to dry. And the lady said, "That laundry is not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. You know, people need to wash their laundry better before they hang it out because it's such a sight." And her husband looked on but kept silent and continued. So every time her neighbor hung out her laundry on the line, again, the lady would go, "She really needs to learn how to do her laundry properly and hang it out right. I don't know what's wrong with her. Somebody needs to tell her something." And this went on and on and on about this lady's, her observations of her neighbor's dirty laundry. About a month later, the woman was surprised as she got up and she looked out to the same place and saw nice, clean, beautiful, white, sparkly laundry. And she said, "Look, she's finally learned correctly how to go ahead and wash her laundry." And she said, "I wonder who taught her this." Her husband said, "Well, I got up this morning and cleaned our windows." All right. Sometimes our perspective is it's not about someone else, but it's about us. You know, it's always more difficult to look at what we are lacking than what someone else is lacking. Jesus said it in several ways. Matter of fact, one time he said, "Why do we look at this speck of sawdust in our brother's eye, but we basically forget about the 2x4 that's in our eyes?" And so when we have that, we struggle with seeing what's going on with us. As I ask, I think this is a message for everyone, and it's not one that we all love, but hypocrisy and being a hypocrite. You know, I've prided myself in 20 plus years of laying down my life to serve Christ and the people of God. And yet there have been 1, 2, or maybe 3 billion times where you could have gone ahead and classified me as a hypocrite. And one time happened within the last several years or so. I can make excuses, and that's what we do. I was tired. I was exhausted. It was one of those times where lots of things are coming from different areas and everything. And there was someone who was part of an organization who was a nice enough person, but I had my own issues with the organization. And so all of a sudden, this organization was doing a fundraiser to which they reached out to me, and I hadn't heard from them in months or years, and they sent me a text and said, "Hey, would you like to support thus and so?" To which I said, "You got to be kidding me." To which I went ahead and I wanted to write my wife, who had heard me gripe and complain for the last several weeks or months about this. And I said, "You would not believe that so-and-so sent me this, and guess what they want? They want money. Can you believe this? I can't believe that." And I sent it off to what I thought was my wife. Oh, yeah, I sent it off to the person. Yeah, how you feeling about that? I was not very reverent at that moment, was I? The halo was tarnished, and I was in trouble. And, man, I was like, what lie can I tell now, right? Because hypocrisy leads to more hypocrisy, doesn't it? I'm like, I wanted to say, "Oh, that wasn't me. Judah got the phone," or, "Hey, somebody else got the phone." You know, you want to come up with some sort of lie. How many of you ever mistext somebody? Anybody? All right. Yeah, how's it feel? How many have ever picked up the phone and you thought it was somebody else and you started talking about that other person and it was actually them? How many of you have ever done anything that would be classified as hypocrisy? Raise your hand. If you're not, you're a hypocrite. So, yeah, you know, the number one complaint, the number one complaint from non-Christians is simply this, that they don't want to go to church, or they don't want to become Christians because they don't want to be a hypocrite. And honestly, as a pastor, and we have had this kind of like tongue-in-cheek joke for years, and saying, that's okay, come on, there's plenty of room for one more, you know? And there's a lot of seriousness in that, but there's also a lot of dismissiveness in that, in my own nature, that sometimes we go ahead and we dismiss that people don't want to come to church because maybe there is a lot of hurt behind their statement. Maybe someone did not really love them. Maybe they were lied to. Maybe they looked up to someone who broke that. And we tend to minimize that. I mean, we can look at the major issues in the church, and such as we can look at major issues like the numbers and the numbers and numbers of tragic situations of abuse victims at the hands of the church. And I want to tell you, it's not only our Catholic brothers and sisters, they get the press. What I have to do is look around the evangelical church, and you have just as much. And more horrifically than even the act itself is the horrible way that churches have not addressed it and actually made the victims again, in order to protect the church or individuals in the church. Rachel, I believe I'm saying the last name properly, Dahlhander, who was a gymnast who was molested by a doctor, tells a tragic story that years previous she was molested by a college-age student in their church. And when it finally came out, the parents were made to feel victims. She was. And they ended up being asked to leave the church. The victims made victims once again. And so for someone that, when we talk about hypocrisy, we talk about love and unconditional justice and other kinds of things, and yet we have failed on many of those issues. So when we look at this term of hypocrisy, I think we all can bear some witness, maybe not as big as those, but we all have some area that is in the midst of this. A great quote from Brennan Manning, who is an author, and he's famous for the Ragamuffin Gospel, if anybody's ever read that, said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." We talked last week about lips and hearts and worship, but we must talk today, as we focus on this thing called hypocrisy, on our mouths and our lifestyles and how we go ahead and connect to this. So what I want to do first is I want to go ahead and I want to define for you what hypocrisy is not. Okay, what hypocrisy, because that's something we like to throw around a lot. And I will say that when we mess up or we do something, somebody said, you're a hypocrite right away. So what I want to share with you is this. The first thing, hypocrisy is not the difference between what we do and what we wish we did. Not between what I do this, but I end up doing that. That is called sin. And guess what? Everybody has it. That is called sin. That is not hypocrisy. It's sin. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we really are. Let me say that again. It's the gap between what we show and who we really are. It's what we say and how we live, that difference. It's the difference between our public persona and our private character that we have here. So in the scripture, when it's talked about, anytime, and Jesus talked a lot about hypocrisy, whenever it's talked about, there's a word for this. And I'm going to put this word up here, if you'll see this. Hypocrites. And it even sounds like hypocrite, too. And what it means, here's the definition of what it means. It means an actor, a stage player, one who hides behind a mask. Okay, so I have some things here today. In Greek tragedies, or in Greek situations, they had certain things that they called hypocrites. And here they are right here. See? So you would go ahead Now, if I preached the rest of the day like this, this would be really, really creepy. Am I right? So what would happen is you'd have a mask. And this is the what mask? Sad mask, right? Sad or angry? First time you've ever had this happen in church? Y'all look stunned. All right, so what I want to share with you is there are some hypocrites. There is the sad hypocrite. Here he is. The sad hypocrite. He's the one that everything's bad, bad, bad. Don't do, no, you're evil. How dare you? You shouldn't chew gum in church. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't. No, 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 no. You shouldn't do that thing, this thing, this thing. Don't, no, 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 no. Now. But then when they're home and the mask is off, they do all those things and have their own private and their own private character issues by themselves. Hopefully that no one will know. But when it's back in church, and yeah, yeah, no, no, no. When they're home is, you got me? This is the bad one. So there's that one right there. We'll put that one in there, okay? So we have that one. It's hidden. Their life is hidden and their walk. Then we have another one in here. Then we have the happy hypocrite. How you doing, brother? Hey, good to see you, sister. You looking good. And praise God. Yeah, it's just awesome. Yes. Hallelujah. Right? We're going through all this, and everything is wonderful. Everything is praise the Lord. Everything is awesome in the public persona. And then they're here. Oh, I'm so glad to be in church. But on the way, they're, kids, shut up. I hate you. You know, right? Hey, good to see you. We're so glad. We just woke up, and Jesus was present in the whole house. But when they get home, what are you, right? And there's this anger that exists. And they talk just about how wonderful God is and all the things that they're doing. But then go, oh, I just love my family. I love my wife. But then they're like contemplating divorce on their own nature. You got me? And so we put on these masks, and we deal with these masks all the time. Every day we're one of these people. So many times we are either the happy hypocrite or the sad or angry hypocrite. I think Paul put it in a great way in Titus when he said this. He said, they claim to know God, but their actions deny him. You see, the Pharisees of Jesus' time had this issue. And we talked a little bit about them last week, about their focus with worship and how they went through the motions of things. And Jesus had a problem with the fact that they were giving to be seen. Yeah, look at what I'm dropping in the plate today, praise God. Right? That's what they were doing. They were doing everything to be seen. Everything to be seen. They were fasting to impress. They would put on this face. Here we go. They put on this one right here. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm just fasting for God. But meanwhile, their hearts are far from him. And so they went back and forth. And Jesus couldn't stand it. They prayed to be heard. They would go out on the street corners and say, oh, God, thank you for not making me like one of them. Thank you, God, that I am good and they are not. And they would pray to be seen. They would pray to be seen, but there was nothing there. Their lives, they had the masks on, but meanwhile, their lives were a mess. They took advantage of the poor. If you want to see Jesus at one of the times where he got extremely angry, was a time where he went to the temple. And we went to the temple, and here are these religious leaders with all their masks and saying, go ahead, yes, in order to give to God, in order to come to God, you've got to do this. And they would go ahead, and they were money changers. So people came from all over, and they would take their money, and they'd rip them off. Anybody ever traveled worldwide? And they'd say, be careful about changing your money because they won't make it even, and you'll get ripped off. This is what they were doing in the temple. And Jesus was furious, furious. And he said, You have made my father's house a den of robbers, but it should be called a house of prayer. And he was angry and he turned over tables because of what they had done. Jesus despised when people put on a mask. He despised when people put on this mask. And when I was in seminary, there's this concept of the seven woes. Anybody ever heard of this? The seven woes of Jesus. If you had a young pastor in seminary in your church one time, you probably heard a message on it because it was one of those big things that they talked about. And it comes from Matthew 23. And so here's what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You, what does he call them? Hypocrites. You mask wearers, right? You mask wearers. You hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside. Anybody ever gone past like a graveyard and seen like a beautiful mausoleum or something? You're like, oh my gosh. And then you recognize there's nothing but dead in there. And that's what Jesus was saying. You clean it up, you make it look nice, but inside it's all dead. It's all dead. Then he continues on and he says, and everything is unclean, dead and unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And look at what he calls them. You snakes, you brood of vipers. You look good to everybody on the outside, but inside, there's something there. You know, You may have this on the outside, but inside there's all these vices. You may look virtuous and good, but on the outside there's a lot that's just broken and missing in your life and in everything. Jesus says, how will you escape being condemned to hell? I want to point out something that I find very interesting here in this section of Scripture. Notice that Jesus was not calling out sin. You notice that sin that Jesus was not angry about here? He wasn't about, I can't believe you are a sinner. I can't believe this. He wasn't calling that out. He was calling out the mask of hypocrisy. He wasn't calling out the action of sin. Because he knows that's what he came for. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. What he was calling out is people who put on the mask and act as if they didn't sin. Act as if they were better than someone else. Act as if they had the answers and no one else did. See, Jesus didn't say, woe to you who cuss. Woe to you who watch things you shouldn't be watching. Woe to you who get angry every once in a while. No, he didn't say that. He said, woe to you the ones who say you don't do those things, but you do them. Because you're trying to fool yourself. It's woe to the hypocrite, the actions. You see, we are not imperfect. And I think probably one of the best ways that we wear masks anymore, and I've said this before, but I think in social media anymore, everybody puts on a mask. You can be like, hey, look how awesome my kids are today. They're just doing so wonderful. They're just fantastic. Yay. Here we are. And then really behind the scenes, they are a mess. But we got to keep up with the persona from everybody else. All right. Or maybe we'll go ahead and we'll say, today I want to show you, and we have our Bible, and we have our pen, and our notebook, and we have our cup of coffee, and maybe have our hand there too, and say, doing devotions today. But meanwhile, it took us longer to set up the picture than to actually do the devotion. Right? This is what we do because we want everybody to see. But meanwhile, that's what we want. But really, we're putting on masks time and time again. It's kind of like, anybody ever see that Lego movie that was out when the kids were little? Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything's awesome. Or we even do it in the church. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Right? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yeah, you just clapped and some of you are miserable. when you get the mask off your face, because we all come into church and act like this. And meanwhile, life is falling apart. Christianity was never about putting on masks until we made it that way. And I believe it turns the stomach and the heart of God to a point when he says, I don't want this. I want a broken and contrite heart. That's what the scripture says. Am I right? He doesn't want your games. He already sees through the mask. If I walked around like this today, if I went to the DMV to get my picture, I'm smiling today, let me get my picture, and they would say what? I said, this is my face. This is how I am all the time. They are not going to take the picture because they see through it. Jesus sees through your masks, and so do others. What would Jesus undo? I believe if one of the best things that Jesus could ever do is a spirit of hypocrisy in our lives. Now, if you're getting a little bit uncomfortable, give yourself a pat on the back. Because if you are getting a little uncomfortable with this message, as I have been planning it and trying to give it, it's okay, because that means you're at least open and aware that God needs to do something in your life. If you're doing this, man, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this message. I'm going to have to tweet them right now and tell them, go ahead, right? Oh, glad Pastor Jack's talking about hypocrites today. I'm glad they're talking about hypocrites. Oh, you need to see this. We start hashtagging people in it. Then we better check our masks and what we look like in the mirror. But here's the thing. Here's the cool thing. There is hope for the hypocrite. Hope is alive. Look at what it continues in Matthew 23. Jesus will continue on. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of a cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean as well. You know, if I gave you a glass to drink from, and I had the outside all nice and clean, but inside I had a layer of sand and dirt, I said, here you go. How many of you going to take a drink? That's what we do. We're so worried about how we look in this world to others. We're more worried about others' opinions than we are the opinion of our Creator. And one of the things that is so freeing is when we get to a point where we can go ahead and care more about what God thinks than what others think. You see, when I was, as you can see, when I was going to seminary, and even early on, early in ministry and for many years, there was a mindset that was kind of given to clergy, and a mindset that you just kind of take on by being the person. It was an image, and the image was simply this, that you had to be lifted up. You had to have a higher level. You had to be above people, but not above them. You had to look the look. There were certain ways you had. I mean, early when I started on, there was people who said, I remember having one person one time to tell me they liked me, but they liked me better if I wore a robe. And I said, well, come over after I'm out of a shower and you can see me, right? You know? But there was people that wanted me to look a certain way and act a certain way. And I spent years of my life trying to live up to people's expectations of who they thought I should be as a pastor. And you want to tell yourself that you're tired of putting on masks and tired of putting it on every day. It gets difficult, and it also gets dangerous when you're trying to put yourself in this position of wearing masks for whoever wants to see that kind of mask on you. You get worn out. You get tired. You get tired, and you put on the happy face when you need to. When you don't feel happy, you put this on. When you don't feel happy, when you feel miserable and everything's falling apart and you're hurting and you're dealing with stuff, and yet you got to put this on for everybody else. And you're dealing with that. And before you know it, the Bible here, this Bible does not become your life manual, but it becomes something that you can get through so you can share with everybody else. So you can put on the game face and smile and say, great job. Have a great week. Smile, you know, put on the face here. But meanwhile, when you take it off at home, you don't even open it. Sometimes when people say, you say, I'll pray for you. I've been praying for you. I'm so glad. I know God's going to do something because I've been praying. And really, you don't do it at all. You get to a point where at times God is the last one you want to talk to because you relate God to the misery you're having behind this mask. And God said, Jack, I never wanted you to put the mask on in the first place. But then you start to say, well wait a second, God. And you start realizing that you're in dangerous areas for your own well-being and even the church well-being. And then you start to wonder, well, what if they see? What if that person knows that I'm not like this all the time? And you start to struggle with that. And some of you are doing that right now. You don't have to be a clergy. And so honestly, what I've had to learn to do in my life is repent of my masks. And I have to say to you, I am not always like this. There are Saturdays that come along that I'm miserable because I don't feel like, there's Sunday mornings I don't feel like getting up. I just like to roll over. That's real. Because even though I love Jesus, and I know that he loves me, my Savior and Lord, I'm a human. Sometimes just doesn't feel like it. And I have to repent of that too. Because that means I'm not in the right place. And it's okay if you're not in the right place. Don't put on the mask and say, everything is awesome. When it's not. We are all sinners. Look at the person next to you and say, how you doing, sinner? I'm a sinner. You see, what happened in my life and has in times, I have become a full-time pastor and a part-time follower of Christ. And for some of you, you may be a full-time mom and a part-time follower of Christ. Others of you may be a full-time business person, but a part-time follower of Christ. Some of you may be a full-time student and a part-time follower of Christ. But what I've come to learn that God loves and I need to do is simply this. Recognize that I'd rather be an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. We have to be okay with that. And so here's a couple things as we wind this down today. Is Jesus had zero, everybody say zero. Zero tolerance for hypocrisy. He had no time for it anywhere in the scripture. He hated it. He despised it. But, now here's the coolest thing. You ready? Because we're like, wait a second, Jack. I'm dealing with hypocrisy. I'm dealing with some of this. That's okay. But look here. Here's what we're talking about. Jesus had zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but Jesus had unlimited grace, undeserved love and favor for a sinner who is in need of forgiveness. That's a lot better than your reaction there. What I'm saying is, go back a little bit. One more, Melinda. I want to see this again. Jesus had zero. Everybody say zero. Zero tolerance for hypocrisy. The people who put on the masks, the mask wearers, he had zero. Thank you. Zero. But for the one who took off the mask, who said, I'm tired of wearing it. I can't do it anymore. But what I do know is I'm broken. And I need Jesus. And God, I'm sorry. And I need your forgiveness. And I need your healing. And I need your life. And I don't need this anymore. So this is what it is. He has, ready for this? One more. Unlimited grace. There you go. Unlimited grace for those who are a sinner who's in need of forgiveness. So what do we need to do? We need to drop the mask because Jesus did not come from those who appeared righteous. He came for the sick who needed a doctor. What if they find out? You know, there's a freedom when you have no secrets. Nobody can find anything on you when you already let it be known. Proverbs 28 says this, whoever conceals their sins, whoever does what? Everything is awesome. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who drops the mask, confesses, and renounces them finds what? Mercy. 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 We need to leave behind the mask. Some of us are sitting here in the sound of my voice, and you're tired of trying to live behind the mask because it's laborious, and it's not who you are. You are only as strong as you are honest. We're in this together. You know, we're talking about going all in. And I'd love for everybody in this church to be part of a small group going all in. Because I think we spend way too much time trying to be on our own. And here's what I would challenge you, is if you go into the small group, drop the mask. Make yourself vulnerable, drop the mask. And recognize that there's some people in your life that can journey with you. And there's a freedom in dropping the mask. There's such a freedom in Christ. Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, unlimited mercy for a sinner. David said this prayer, and this is a prayer, a dangerous prayer that we all need to pray. He said this, "Search me, God, and know my heart." Remember, it's easy to find somebody else's hypocrisy. But search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. You see, hypocrisy is simply the gap between what we show and who we really are. It's what's behind the mask. We've worn that mask long enough. So how do we close the gap as we close this today? We don't close the gap by being more perfect. We don't close the gap by trying to add more Bible studies. We don't close the gap by trying to dress differently. We don't close the gap by trying to fill our head with knowledge or to put a happy face on more. Matter of fact, those things sometimes will help us widen the gap. How do we close the gap? Because we can't be perfect. We close the gap with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one we can close the gap with. We don't try to be a good Christian. We don't try to be a better Christian. We can't. You are all sinful, and so am I. How do we get that? We spend time with the one who is good, and his name is Jesus. And we be honest with him. We take off our mask. So what would Jesus undo? In your life, Jesus wants to undo addiction, marriage, wants to remove the mask of just going through the motions. Maybe you have this mask on that you say, people say, "How you doing? I heard that you had a doctor's appointment today." And you say, "Yeah, I had a doctor's appointment. And I'm okay. And really, behind the mask, you're going, "Man, I am broken. I can't make it. What happens? I'm worried. I'm upset." You say, "Hey, oh yeah, we've been married for so many years." And meanwhile, you're like, "But we haven't even talked in months or years." Jesus knows. Why deal with that on your own? All these things. We need to drop the mask so that we can have mercy, the mercy of God. Amen? Let's stand where we are. Jesus, we come to you today. We come to you as those who have sinned and fall short of your glory. And God, you're not concerned, and you're not just angry or upset about our sin. You know that we're sinful, and that's why you came in the first place. You have unlimited grace and mercy for the sinner who just says, "Hey, I need you, Jesus." But God, right now, I just pray that in the sound of my voice, that masks are dropping all over the place. That masks are hitting the floor. And God, if it's masks where marriage is on rocky roads, that the mask will drop and that people will begin to get healing and restoration that they need. God, if it's addiction, that people will say, "Hey, I have an issue and I need help." God, if it's depression, that people will begin to go ahead and drop that mask. If it's people who are dealing with family issues and concerns and just struggles, God, the mask will drop. And that they'll say, "God, I don't want to make you angry, Jesus, anymore. Tired of wearing the mask. Tired of playing the role. But I know that through forgiveness and restoration and your unlimited grace and favor, that I can be restored to a place of joy. God, I repent for those years where people trusted in me to pray for them. And I was wearing my mask. God, the greatest thing that ever happened was when I said, 'Hey, I can't do it anymore. I took off that mask and repented. And God, it's not easy all the time, and I want. And there's that nature of mine that wants to put back on that mask at times. But I thank you that you say, you are my child. I love you, and I'm pleased in you, and I receive your repentance, and I give you mercy and grace. The sound of my voice, I pray that is for everyone here. So God, as we are here today, there's somebody right now. Somebody in this room who's been wearing a mask, and they just need to know you. Somebody in the sound of my voice just says, I need to let the mask go. I need to let it go. I need to let the mask of hurt go. I need to let the mask of pain to go. And it's not okay because I'm hurting. It's not okay because I'm upset. It's not okay because I trusted someone and they let me down. God, heal them, but the first part of healing is dropping the mask. So God, as masks are dropping all over this place, I pray that your spirit, that your son Jesus, will bring healing and mercy to this place. In your name, amen.
So Jack, you said a cool thing last week. I mean, you said about raising your hands and surrender, and then it turns into what when you do that? You go like this, you're surrendering, and you go like this, you're in victory, right? It's kind of cool. We can do one action is like I'm surrendering. I'm throwing my mask. Then you go like this, and it's a victory in Jesus. Let's sing in the victory together. Just sing with me. You know, I'm just, don't look at me as like the singer and the worship leader. I'm just the organ player. That's all I am. I'm just a little old lady playing the organ. You guys are the voices, right? It's a weird visual, but you know.
Of your life, 'cause I am yours.
There is no one like you, God. So lead this heart to sing in oh.
I pray that you let him go. Let him go. Just for you. Life is way too short to live this way. Let the mask down and let God bring a healing. You can never be healed if you're looking like this. You're trying to put this on. It's too hard. You spend most of your energy trying to be something that you're not. Try to live up to it. Right? Next week is our last week in this series. We are going to talk about what are you full of? Okay? Or full of it, okay? So I don't know. What are you full of? We'll find out. So next week we're going to talk about that, and hopefully you'll be able to, at least this week, put down the mask for yourself and say, okay, God, let's start to deal with this. Have a great week. Everybody, say bye, hypocrite, to somebody near you.
A glimpse of your splendor.